Mike, this is the part where you usually put some clever thing at the beginning. You can't just have nothing at the top there.
What Open you, your what mouth. I'll put a clever thing in there.
Once again, beating on your undeserving eardrums.
It's Radio Like You Want.
With your host, Mike Routier.
And Blag the Ripper.
Hey, Blag, I told you once. I told you twice.
Indeed, Mike Routier. Well, the people have spoken. Radio Like You Want is going off the air.
Where the dodo? We're heading out of town, getting down and out.
And I feel so good about this because we have gone above and beyond the call of duty. We spoke to Steve Krabby Cabler, Huntington Beach surfer, rock and roller extraordinaire, in a bunch of funky bands that we're going to tell you about too. But I'll tell you what, his story is amazing, Mike. He lived through the Bali bombing. And
yeah, now this is a great interview. When you handed this one off to me, I knew it was gold. Gold in a bottle. And
you made it platinum, Mike, because you have edited this
into the next level.
Insane thing I have heard. My hat is off to you. And let me say this, my friend, doing a show with you has been my great pleasure.
Oh, no, you don't. Not you, my friend. I tell you, it's been a pleasure broadcasting 3 years deep.
It is a love fest, and we talked to a lot of fascinating people. I went back last night. I listened to Sammy from Fang interview.
Oh, that was a great one.
The Jim Goad interview. We've talked to so many
Remember
sick
every year we do a leaving Christmas. You can't do Christmas without leaving. I mean, it's just amazing. The time that we sat here with Colin from GBH and watched that zombie crack salt guy eating his face when we got high. I mean, we've had some good times,
it
man.
It is nostalgia aplenty here in
some
San
wild
Francisco
times.
At Radio Like You Want headquarters. But we got all the usual features. We don't even have to tell people what they are
anymore, know what
Mike.
They are.
If they don't know by now, fuck them. Suck a dick.
That's right. While you're on the job, we're going to queue up new ones from the Restarts, Mike D and the Beastie Boys. But first, you know, we just can't stand this love. We got to say goodbye.
This is the Restart's latest offering called Independencia. It is featured on our new full-length album, A Sickness of the Mind. Up the box!
Let me up. hell did this upside down civilization get started?
Well, it began in our prehistory with the plague that fell upon dogs. Hundreds and thousands of them died, and hundreds and thousands of them had to be destroyed in order to prevent the spread of infection.
There were dog vampires.
Yes, and by the time the plague was contained, man was without pets. Of course, for man, this was intolerable. I mean, he might kill his brother, but he could not kill his dog. So, humans took primitive apes as pets. They were quartered in cages, but they lived and moved freely in human homes. They became responsive to human speech, and in the course of less than 2 centuries, they progressed from performing mere tricks to performing services. But they became alert to the concept of slavery, and as their numbers grew, to slavery's antidote, which of course is unity. First, they began assembling in small groups. They learned the art of corporate and militant action. They learned to refuse.
A little trap, a little SoCal punk, mix it together with some Planet of the Apes. You got yourself a hit. Mike D right there, the Beastie Boys, pumping out a new tune. Did that one for a fashion show, so I heard.
They're a very fashionable band, always were. Umberto versus the New Reactionaries.
That's a major edit. That's like a 10-minute piece he did, but on Radio Like We Want, we just distill it down to the bare essence. Brand new one from the Restarts before that, Independencia, A Sickness of the Mind's the new release. And we started things out with, I Can't Stand This Love, Goodbye, We Are Out of Here. This is it.
That's
done.
One of the all-time
See ya.
Great garage jams by The Others. The Restarts, remember we talked to them. Apparently he was from living in England, comes from Canada, sucks dick, and he's proud. Mike, he's a man after your own heart, to be honest with you. I mean, that's where it's at. We
is this where we do underhanded gay jokes? Is that all you got after all this time? Come on,
they love
my
it
friend.
Underhanded. You can go overhand, underhand. They love that shit.
Not even the common courtesy of a reach around on that one. You son of a bitch.
I can't
Listen,
stand this love.
We've
goodbye.
Had some great times. I'm telling you what. Radio Like You Want has brought good times to the masses.
I love this show. And I got to give a shout out to our biggest fan, Danny Bland, man. He used to back me up every
Who
week
the fuck
and tell
is
me,
that?
Yeah. There's Gilberto. He sent us Gilberto all that great shit.
Mr. Globetrotter himself.
A lot of people helped out this show. And our boy John Gentile, he'll be
always
represented
on the
as
job.
Always. You know what? Motherfuckers just don't understand. Radio like you want. Rock
legend.
Hey,
get a hold of yourself, man. I tell you what. Let's take a little vacay. We'll get back into it.
Globetrotter. Spanning the nine continents of the globe to bring you the finest in punk rock and garbage music.
It's the United Nations of Noise, the International Brotherhood of Rock and Roll, a kumbaya of chaos and carnage.
So join us now, live from Points Unknown, as we bring you
Globetrotter. Mike, tell us what corner of the planet we're going to this time.
A beautiful one, Singapore, 1966. This is a wild cut here. All-girl group called the Vampires. Han Yu Kwan, or as you know, Chilling Rain Song.
Chilling Rain Song.
Check this shit out. It's wild.
Sorry, Dad. I guess I fell out of bed.
Feel like asking a tree for an autograph. And I feel like making love to a photograph. Photographs don't smell. I told you, baby, I was the only one. Then I left myself and now you're the lonely one. Machines can't dream. Boys groove and white boys mess a bit. But them soft boys wind up with that Dr. Messerschmitt. Just a 109 zoom. Give it to the soft boys.
Yo, 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 radio like you want. This is John Gentile from Philly of punknews.org, bringing you my very last brand new punk rock tune. And I tell you, this is not a day for sadness, but a day for celebration. For 3 years, Radio Like You Want brought you the greatest of punk rock history and the greatest of punk yet to come. Thusly, I salute you, Mike Routier. I salute you, Black Dahlia. And now I make my egress playing the very same band, World Inferno Friendship Society, as I played on my very first appearance on Radio Like You Want. So I tell you this, please, my favorites, don't be sad. Be sad. Be sad.
After all those years of living fear, I started worrying about the bomb and the other shoe dropping. After those words for my life, I started to enjoy myself. Started to enjoy myself. The only ones who suffered from it, the creditors and the landlords. You know what? Fuck them. If they want an apology, they can have it for any inconvenience I might have caused. But the butterflies in my stomach have flown up through my throat and learned to love the open air, the open air. Oh, sorry guys, sit down and have a drink, but I'm not sorry.
Try to see the night as something beautiful.
Until the full moon turns it into a thing of ugliness and horror.
And the Chancellors, that one's been turning me on since high school. Mike,
the Chancellors, man, what a great surf band on their own. Then you throw fucking Ralph on top of it, and you are screaming up a party right there.
All the best surf tracks come from places where people
don't
surf.
There's no surf.
Why,
I know.
Why
what is going on with
that?
That
is an
so
amazing
weird
track.
I just don't understand. World Inferno Friendship Society. A big thanks to John Gentile for sending his last effort in there. He loves that band.
Did you see that big interview he did with me in punknews.org? I mean, I'm almost interested in me now.
Wow. I think I got more ink than you did in that one.
That's right. Well,
pontificating about...
Gentile has spread the gospel of the dwarves far and wide. We got to thank him for his efforts. Before that, the Soft Boys. Give it to the Soft Boys. A lot of people don't know, but Robin Hitchcock had what I call a punk band, what some people might call it. Psychedelic band during the punk era.
You're doing the air quote thing. Look
air
out.
Quotes. Could you? Wow. Could everybody see that? That was 1977. Wow.
Now, wait a minute. Before that, we heard a track that... This is the track that you're going to hear before Quentin Tarantino uses it in his next movie.
That was mind-blowing. Where did you find that? It's got to be the web, the World Wide Web.
Hey, I can't tell my sources. The Vampires. It blows my mind. From Singapore, 1966. Han Yu Koo. The Vampires EP right there. What a wild,
cool
track.
It was kind of the perfect combo of like... trippy, you know, kind of Martin Denny like weird exotica thing with like a little bit of 60s garage. It
talking
was
of that, man, talking about going to the exotic places, you're getting yourself in some danger sometime. Steve Krabby Cabler, this is his story.
My name is Steve Cabler. They call me Krabby. I don't know where I got that nickname, it's just kind of stuck. I'm a surfer. I'm 52 years old. I grew up in the 70s surfing in Orange County. It was just a bunch of hippies that just wanted to get out of the water and have fun. I'm out there to feel nature. I'm just trying to become one with nature and just enjoy my surroundings. I surfed all over Mexico. I spent a lot of time in Fiji. I just got back from Hawaii. I surf Bali. I've surfed Sumatran jungles where I've had the boat captain told me he's never even heard of anybody surfing these spots. I've pioneered surf spots where nobody's ever even caught a wave before. So I mean, that's the way I look at surfing. Every surf break is different. Every country is different. Usually when you go to these places, the people really enjoy surfers that come in and they really treat you well. So I think it takes a lot of the danger out of going to some of these dangerous places.
Black Flag at the Star with January 6th.
So we used to go and we'd see little bands like Social Distortion and Black Flag and Circle Jerks and Minutemen, and there'd be 10 people going to watch them. How come there's nobody here? You know, what? These bands are so great. And I was so influenced by The Clash and some of the early stuff. I knew a bunch of guys that played. We formed this band called El Centro.
One, two, three.
Since I was a little kid, I wanted to be on the cover of the Rolling Stone. I wanted to be in the Rolling Stone magazine. Well, finally made Rolling Stone, not quite the way I pictured it. Terror hits home. California punk singer injured in blast.
October 2002. Hundreds of young tourists enjoy a tropical island resort. Then, massive explosions rip through the packed nightclubs. The bombings claim 202 lives. It's the worst act of terror since 9/11.
It's much more than just an explosion. It's people's lives, you know? So many people entwined in this carnage. So many beautiful people. Torsos, heads, half bodies, girls, children. This was the fire that I had to escape after the bomb. It was so hot. They said they couldn't even get the fire department anywhere near it. It would melt the hoses. Our Balinese friend that had came with us was standing between me and the car bomb. He was standing to my left and basically shielded me from the explosion. Me and Steve both lived through the initial impact of the bomb. I was actually closer to the bomb than Steve was. It's just part of the roof came down and smashed on him and a lot of other people. I heard stories of people on the dance floor had to crawl through 10 bodies to get up and get out. It was a very late season when I went to Indonesia. It was kind of almost an intervention. I was like drinking too much and just really being a crazy rock guy, pretty much killing myself. My friend Kurt and my friend Jeff from Huntington, they showed up and they go, hey, you know, you're kind of a mess and we're going to Bali and we're gonna go surfing. We're gonna get on a boat and we're going to the Indian Ocean. We're going to the Hanako and the Telo Islands. My best friend and my band manager, Steve Webster, his birthday was coming up. And so he had mentioned to me, he goes, dude, I'd love to go. And he goes, I might show up for my birthday in Bali. So I went out on this boat and really cleaned up my act. I drank water and ate good food and surfed about 8 hours a day. And I went from 220 pounds to about 180 in 2 weeks. It was amazing. I was really, really feeling good. The last 2 weeks were gonna be in Bali, the island of Bali, the party island with good surf and wonderful people. And it's like predominantly a Hindu place and it's just really peaceful, flowery, incense-loving people. There was a really friendly guy who owned a surf shop next to the hotel we were staying at, and he would give us boards and, you know, he would show us where the good waves are, where the secret spots are, where the best food is, where you're not gonna get sick. And he wasn't a nightclub guy, he was a family man. He was married to an Australian lady and he had some kids. And we walked by the surf shop and he goes, it's Steve's birthday. He goes, I heard you guys are going out. He goes, I'm gonna go out with you tonight. He was the one that was between me and the bomb.
My name is
I walk in, here's the wall, here's the street. My friend Yeoman was standing between me and what was later to be the car bomb. And then Steve and I sat shoulder to shoulder. And I just didn't feel like drinking on that particular night. I was on heightened alert. My hair was standing up on my neck. I just felt some impending doom. And it was all coming to fruition. I could hear some blood curdling, like militant screaming. And I could see out into the street. And all of a sudden, I just see an explosion. I just watched a guy blow himself up. I saw somebody blow himself up. I'm in the middle of an Al-Qaeda bomb attack. And I'm sitting there, I'm saying, I can't talk. My eardrums got exploded, and I watched the blast. It burned my direct retinas. I remember thinking later, I go, I can live like this. At least I can see. You know, I'm not completely blinded. Slim Shady was playing, and I could hear the screaming over this loud bar. Everything went black. I was watching, and Steve wasn't paying any attention, I don't think. But at the same time, without saying anything, we both kind of just looked at each other, and I just saw the fire was just flickering off their faces. It was just hundreds of people in the bar were just looking across the street at the flames. But they say it was about 15 seconds.
This mayhem in Bali was carefully orchestrated. A small bomb sent panicking tourists fleeing into the path of a much bigger truck bomb. The result was total carnage, a day no one here will ever forget.
I just remember it was like being inside of a nuclear blast, a hurricane. I mean, I was inside of power that was beyond anything I've ever imagined. The explosion was so powerful. Later on, I felt like it almost ripped my leg out of my socket. I remember thinking it was an airplane bomb. Steve and I hit heads really, really hard. I was already almost blinded from the first blast, and my ears were gone. We hit heads so hard that my right eye was swollen shut, and it rang my bell. It was like somebody hit me in the head with a bat. Steve and I had both lived. I didn't know where Yeoman was. I figured out later he was between us and the bomb, and I had fluid. The wet stuff and the stuff that was on me was his body, you know. Steve and I, we looked at each other. We both stood back, and then part of the roof had come down and hit him. It just missed me, and we both were standing within feet of each other. It was on fire. The roof was on fire. I'm going to try to lift this thing and move it out of the way and grab him and help him. It was corrugated metal, and I remember I just did one wipe, and my hands just melted. It was so hot. At this point in time, everything was on fire. It was all fire. The whole place was fire. This happened so quick. I looked over and I saw what looked like outline of a human body with no head, like walking like five steps. And the bomb had broken my eardrums and blown my inner ear. And I was starting to get real dizzy. I didn't know what it was. And I was in this fiery coffin. And I remember I said, it's kind of warm in here and I'm going to die. You know, I'm just going to burn to death. This is the way it is. And I remember I just thought of my son. I thought of my family. You know, and I just stood up and I said, I'm not going to give up. There was just wreckage and bodies piled high. I saw two little girls, and they were both trying to put each other out. They were like, they had like, looked like rubber, like some foam from seats or something had gotten on them. I was freaking out, I was dizzy. They're just on fire, but I was very calm. I was freaked, but I was calm. I'm standing at this point in fire. Everybody's off, they're on fire, their bodies are on fire. I was so hot, I was ready to just start burning myself. There was like a secondary little explosion. Like, I don't know if there was a propane tank or something. They just fell. The fire got so big, they just fell back. And she just fell back in the fire. At this point, I'm completely engulfed. It's starting to bubble my skin. And I went for what I thought would be the closest exit to getting out. I looked, I saw this pipe. And then it was about 3 foot of wall like this. There's probably a seam here. I went back about 3 feet. And I smashed with everything I had right on the side of the pole with the shoulder. And at this point, I'm getting dizzier and fluids coming out. I hit it and my back broke. My scapula broke. First hit, and it didn't budge. And I hit it like 6 or 7 more times. I was counting. 1, 2. And I saw it just push a little opening, and I went. I finally ripped part of it open. And I remember going, oh my God. I go, as soon as I get on the other side, they're going to kill me. They're waiting to kill me. So I went into a different alert, and I'm just getting really dizzy. Now all my fluid from my cochlea is just leaking out of my head. So I broke the wall and I spilled into the street. I looked around me and it was just body parts, just guts,
people just from the waist down in their pants, just chunks of people. Everybody in the street was just shredded.
Guys, this is horrendous.
Stop
using it. It's huge, it's scary. Everything has gone, the whole street.
I went as far as I could. I had no idea what I just lived through. People were surrounding me. I was so dizzy and my back was broken. And I remember I put my hands up and like whatever was it melted off, whatever to wipe off, green blisters. My head's melted off, my back's broken, Steve's dead. And then I just went into this weird shock. People standing over and just looking at me. And these guys come up and they're like laughing at me. What it was people were lying in wait. Everybody's going, dude, you want to see the infidels die? They were there. Al-Qaeda was there. They actually put out flyers. It was a mock party flyer that they put out like a month before that had explosions and dead people. And I'm laying there. And I remember I kept trying to get up. And it was buckling. I'm going, I gotta get up. I gotta get up. I gotta get up. And then I heard somebody go, stay away from me. Get away from me. Move. And the crowd shuffled away. And this guy, he was a big guy. He was like 6'5". He had a white hat on. And he was American. He just gives me my name. He goes, what's your name, soldier? Are you hurt? And I said, yeah. Pretty bad. This guy blew himself up, and they bombed the club, and everybody got blown to a million pieces, including my best friend. He's like, that's not possible. He goes, this is a peaceful place. This is a peaceful village. Nothing like that would happen. That was a propane explosion. He picked me up, and he put me in a car. The door opens, and this guy jumps and gets in. He's a dark fellow. He looked like he could have been Middle Eastern, British accent. I go, this guy's not guy. This guy's going to kill me. Turns out that was another guy that had originally met Steve Webster, showed him the surf spots. He heard about the explosion. We were in there, and he came to find Steve, and he found me. He took me to this hotel. They brought me in. They flopped me down. They bring in someone trying to clean me up, and I'm looking. I got this. It was veins. I had veins, like, stuck on me. It was horrible. I had human stuff all over me. And they go, well, listen, you can't sleep. My heart's just pounding. I go, I'm going to die now. I'm waiting to die. This is it. Bleeding from the brain. I have internal bleeding. I'm going to die.
The 2002 Bali bombing was the deadliest attack ever carried out in Indonesia. 202 people were killed, hundreds more were injured. Many rushed to hospital by their friends.
The Indonesian kid that spoke with a British accent, he showed up with three of his friends in a van, cut through the red tape, and walked us to every hospital. We walked through the door. I was just going through and ripping sheets off of people. People were laying there screaming, and flies were on them, and they were just bleeding through the sheets, and I was just screaming and crying. I was just looking everywhere. I went through the hospitals, and then they took me to the makeshift morgue. These Indonesian kids spoke the language, and they walked me through. As I came in, there was a big, giant white tile area, and it was just lined with whole bodies, basically torched black, but they were frozen in time. And they just had a block of ice on their chest. Some of them were girls, people that were frozen standing. And I started just ripping plastic bags open and just flopping torsos out. And there was room after room of this, and the blood was up over my toenails.
Experts say the bombers targeted Bali because it's so popular with Western holidaymakers, and it's a predominantly Hindu, not Muslim island. 88 Australians died in the attack, more than any other nationality.
I get to the airport, it's mass exodus, and the airport's just going crazy. And then I finally got up to the front, and he said, g'day, mate. And I said, g'day. He goes, what damages do you sustain? I said, you know, I go, I'm having trouble breathing. My ribs feel like they got separated. My back's broken. My ears are broken. All this stuff. And he goes, you know, we'll fly you right to Australia right now. We'll put you in an Australian hospital. And I said, oh, I'm American. I want to go to America.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, due to the busy nature of the Los Angeles airport terminal,
as soon as we landed in LAX, I had two FBI agents come up and kind of brief me. Mr. Kabler, we're fully aware what you've been through and what you will be going through, and we're here and we're behind you and we're willing to do anything that you need to do. From the first day that I returned home from that attack in October of 2002, I had the FBI at my bedside. I've been in constant contact with them.
Authorities took little time to focus their attention on the Islamist group Jamaa Islamiya, led by radical cleric Abu Bakr Bashir. But exactly who was responsible for the blasts wasn't clear. A week after the attacks, and just over a year since 9/11, many asking, was that tragic night in Ceuta just a threat of what's next?
I sat down with this guy, and he was the guy who was in charge of all the bodies on 9/11. He had put every little piece, every little chunk of everything together in a parking lot, and he studied where I was sitting in accordance to this whole deal, and he said, there's no way you're alive. You get so tweaked out from such a traumatic incident that you really think you died and everything's a dream. That's what post-traumatic stress feels like. It feels like you don't trust anybody, you think everybody's after you. It's a horrible feeling to live. I can't sleep at night, and when I do, it's all nightmares. I'm just being chased or shot at. Post-traumatic stress, man, I really feel for the soldiers and you know, I'm just a regular civilian guy. I wasn't trained for war. So I can really feel for these guys. It was so strange because I couldn't hear out of my left ear for months and months and months. And I was just praying. I test my ears and nothing. A little, nothing. Months later, I was eating at the Yard House with some friends and it just opened. It went shh, and it sounded like clapping. I remember I started crying. I was like, I can't fucking hear it. Sorry. It's not good to be a singer and not be able to hear. Anyway.
Less than a month after the blast, on the 5th of November, Indonesian authorities swooped. Ambrosi, who would become known throughout his long trial as the Smiling Assassin, was arrested in an early morning raid. A series of arrests and shootouts followed. Some would take days to find, others years. Those responsible for the attacks were scattered across Indonesia, elsewhere in Asia, and in the Middle East.
Flash forward 10 years later, they have caught the actual bomb maker, Mr. Umar Patek. He's known as the Demolition Man. They captured him in Abbottabad, Pakistan. He was just like this highly skilled bomb technician. They sent me a letter, and they also physically called me and told me that, you know, we have captured the actual bomb maker. He's the last of the crew we're looking for. I got a call one day and she goes, you know, hey, the Indonesian government had been asking if any Americans would be willing to do a victim impact report. And I said, of course I will. I felt like I needed to get this closure, and I felt all these, you know, souls that died in that, I felt like at least I could do is put a face to this thing. And so, you know, I went and did it. Right when I walked in the courtroom, cameras were flashing, and it was this very sterile, wood-colored environment. And the first person I saw when I walked in was Umar Patek. And he was basically smiling at me and laughing in my face. He called us up to the front of the courtroom, and I stood touching elbows with this guy that ruined my life and killed all these people. He was about 5'2", 120 pounds. I didn't want to go in, the poor me. I wanted to go in. You didn't do anything to me. You didn't change anything in my life. You hurt me, you killed my friend, but I'm back and I still do all the things you dream of doing. And I wanted him to also understand that we're not so different. That killing in the name of any god or religion is wrong. After I faced this little guy, I felt a lot of closure. I got a phone call from the FBI about 2 weeks later. He broke down, cried, and apologized and admitted everything. So remorse is seen as you get your life back. I felt like I did something. I felt like I went in there, I looked him in the eye, I didn't criticize his God, I didn't criticize his way of thinking, I questioned it. And I tried to make him think about how is he gonna feel when he's a grandfather, or he's got children, or spending the rest of his life in prison, or perhaps dying for this. I'd hoped for the death penalty. He only got 20 years.
as I awake in the darkness and I look around. There is no sound. It's so tranquil. It's so calm like you. But now I hear a noise. Is there any way out of this nightmare? I'm alone now, and you're laughing at me. But I take life in a way that you could never see. So if you're leaving, you better let me know, 'cause I've already started my plan, and I'm never gonna let you go.
Macabre right there. Be forewarned, 1971, one of my all-time faves. But I got to tell you what, it's trumped by that crazy-ass interview. That was the wildest interview we've ever done.
I think that's number one, Mike. And the combo of
we're
you
going
and
out on
me,
top.
My hat is off to you, my friend. My Jimmy hat is off to you. That was brilliant. I got to thank Steve Krabby Cabler. He lived through it. Ladies and gentlemen, you will rarely meet a man so tough, so resilient, and so fucking badass as Krabby. I got to tell you about his bands. Of course, his punk band is The Uprising. His metal band is Why We Kill. And El Centro is his sort of reggae clash band. He is a politically conscious man. He's a beautiful man. He's a soul surfer. And he's Krabby, so...
Well, you know,
wow.
He also seems to be one of us. Southern California, I could definitely relate to that growing up in Huntington Beach myself. Into the punk rock scene at an early age, inspired by that. And, you know, this story is just so incredible. He's a real survivor. And that when you sent me that interview, I was just completely blown away with it. And I'm like, man, we got to do something really special with this. We got to take
this
to the next level. We got to do this an honor.
And not to be jingoistic, but hey, let's hear it for the United States of America. Fuck a bunch of Islamic fundamentalism. They can suck my dick.
Give it up for Australia, too. 88 Australians lost in that one, and they were the targets of that thing.
Right on for Australia, right on for the U.S. of A. Hey, we fuck Hindus up all over the place, but at least
also,
we're not running around blowing people up because they're the wrong religion, Mike. I'll go with the USA.
You sure about that one? Our good buddy Jello might have it say something about that. In fact, I got some treaties on. Oh, what the? Good Lord, holy.
It came from the garage. Ooh, Mike. And this week, we are going back to my hometown, Highland Park, Illinois.
Isn't that a Jewish neighborhood?
Plenty of Jews, and they're rocking and rolling, Mike.
Sinking on deeper down. My head is spinning around and round. I can't seem to shake this feeling. Oh, my body is rocking and reeling. Oh, it's such a funny feeling that I know this is the last time around for me. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sinking on deeper down. My eyes are blurred and I can't hear a sound. Fight! Help me fight! Cause I know this is the last time around for me, oh yeah. Oh, it's taking me over and it's swallowing me up. I'm caught in a landslide, I can't bend the gut. I'm run out of time and I'm run out of blood. I know this is the last time around, oh yeah.
Hardcore punk is good time music.
Yeah.
Nice one, man. I thought I was sitting next to Jim Carrey there for a second.
Blood.
I was channeling myself.
That's right.
My all-time favorite Doors track right there, goddamn. We had to play one last Doors. Hats
Written.
Off to you, my friend. Great
Bye.
Band.
And
always
I
love what
you
have going on. And I heard you have some new stuff in the works.
We absolutely do. I got to give a shout-out to Sergeant Saltpeter. He wrote that song, Motherfucker, and he's got a great one on the newest batch of Doors recordings, a song called Trailer Trash. All these years later, Sergeant Saltpeter still hitting it strong. He
All
who
right.
cannot be named is up in there. Black Josh Freeze wrecks everything. Fresh Prince of Darkness, Chip Fracture, every motherfucker.
All right. We played a Joyce Ride. We all get the fucking point. Anyways, we got some new material coming out. We're going to look for that next fall. Can't wait. And oh my God, before that, the Del Vets are It Came From the Garage. Last time around. Sounds familiar, right?
Man.
That's what's going down right now.
I might have sampled it somewhere. Can you find it, kids? Who knows? But yeah, that track was on the Dunwich label that had a lot of the coolest stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Shadows of Night, who were from Arlington Heights. The good name of Illinois punk.
That's another one of those Midwest classics.
Midwest punk rock from the 1960s, Mike, is what brought me into this business.
Talking about the Midwest, Detroit. The beloved jewel.
It is a great town, and it is a shame. You know, they bailed out the industry, Mike. They just couldn't bail out the town.
The town, nah.
How do you feel about that
the
one?
The benefits, nah. We'll give you our tax money to bail out your corporation, but hey.
But hey, so what if you can't get a pension and or an ambulance?
Fuck it. You know, no one fucks it more than the lady.
Oh, I am woman, hear me roar. In numbers too big to ignore. And I know too much to go.
I'm once again for the soft, caring, touching bankrupt side of Radio Like You Want. This time it's all about solidarity with Detroit.
Detroit, the rock city, motherfucker. Tesco V in the place to be.
Is he a woman? We're going to rock some Blondie here. Detroit, 442, plastic letters.
Upset about this. I honestly think you ought to sit down calmly, take a stress pill, and think things over.
Hey, the roof is leaking and the rain's falling on my head. It won't stop. The roof is leaking and the rain's falling on my head. I need a mop. I cry so hard, teardrops on my bed, dribbity drop, yeah. She packed up her bags and she moved out on a midnight train. She got no brain. She packed up her bag and she moved out on a midnight train. The girl's insane. See me to give me a tip, tip, tip. I said, now listen here, friend. I tell you, I'm hip, hip, hip. Why don't you mind your own business? Shut your lip, lip, lip. I know when my girl give me the slip, slip, slip. I
see me, they give me a tip, tip, tip. I said, now listen here, friend, I tell you I'm hip, hip, hip. Why don't you mind your own business? Close your lip, lip, lip. I know when my girl give me the slip, slip, slip. I said the rim is leaking, red's falling on my head. Dribbity drop. Well, I cried so hard, tears flowing on my bed. On the floor, on the rug, on the wall. Yeah, get safe, safe. Oh yeah, safe. Oh yeah, safe. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
You want
the Muzak Misfits. Hey, we gotta thank on this final show Steve Krabby Cabler.
Hey,
survived the Bali bombing and lived to tell about it.
Big
motherfucker
upset,
Mike
yeah.
Tell these punks where they can hear us.
punkradiocast.com is playing this last show. realpunkradio.com, coreofdestruction.com. We want to thank them all very much for supporting us.
Interviews at radiolikeyouwant.com. You can write to us if you feel like it, but we'll probably ignore you. And guess what?
Like,
go to
do.
radiolikeyouwant.com. You can still download every single show we ever did. 3 years worth. Go back, check them out in the archives, Mike.
That's right. Revisit them. Trade them with your friends. Collect them all. They're fun to have. And who knows? We may be back for a one-off here or there. Stay tuned for what we may do.
Mike Routier and Blag the Ripper will return, boys and girls. Look for us in our new incarnation.
Greedy Worldwide.